Do you have a child who can't or won't do schoolwork on their own? Sam was like that. At 8 years old, doing homework was a battle of wills and tears at his house every single day because he was so frustrated and reading was so difficult. Then, one day, his mom got him some plain glass glasses. Sam was so excited. He told his mom, "Now I can be smart." This is LD Expert Live. In our experience, your kids who resist reading and schoolwork desperately want to be capable, successful students. There are real solutions to reading and learning challenges, including dyslexia, but plain glass glasses or other accommodations probably aren't going to do the trick. If we want to permanently change a learning challenge, we have to identify and address the underlying skills that are not supporting the learner well enough. One of those critical areas is visual skills and visual processing. Today, we are going to be talking with Dr. Valerie Lamb about vision problems you never realized could affect learning. Welcome to LD Expert Live, your place for answers and solutions for learning disabilities, dyslexia, and attention challenges. Did you know that if you have 20/20 vision, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have the visual skills that you need to succeed in learning? We are going to talk about that and much more today with our guest, Dr. Valerie Lamb. Welcome to the LD Expert Podcast, your place for answers and solutions for dyslexia, learning, and attention challenges. I'm your host, Jill Stowell, founder of Stowell Learning Centers, and author of a brand new book, Take the Stone Out of the Shoe, a must-have guide to understanding, supporting, and correcting dyslexia, learning, and attention challenges. This book will help you understand why some bright children and teens have more difficulty than expected in school. It provides simple, practical tools for supporting struggling students at home and in the classroom. Most importantly, it presents real solutions and the science behind them. Our guest today is developmental optometrist Dr. Valerie Lamb. Dr. Lamb is the co-founder of Insight Vision Center in Costa Mesa, California, a private practice dedicated to vision therapy and specialty contact lenses. She and her team of 10 live by their mission statement to give patients a lifetime of healthy vision so that they love the way they see. Dr. Lamb is a fellow of the American Academy of Optometry and a fellow of the College of Optometrists in Vision Development. When she's not wearing her doctor hat, she enjoys just being a mom and playing bubbles and Play-Doh with her 2-year-old and 4-year-old daughters. Welcome, Dr. Lamb.
Good morning. Welcome. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, well, I am so delighted to have you on our broadcast today. I think that we are very like-minded in our thinking about reading and learning challenges. If we want to permanently change them, we have to really explore what the root cause of that difficulty is. You know, I think most people believe that if you have 20/20 vision, you're all set. You have perfect vision. Right. But we have students come to us at our centers who have 20/20 vision, but who are still struggling. Can you talk to us a little bit about the vision skills below the surface that students need in order to succeed in learning?
Absolutely. And you said it best, Jill, when you said, you know, they went to their general eye doctor, they sat in the chair, they read the letters on the screen, you know, TZVECL, great. The doctor says, you have 20/20 vision, your eyes are perfect, you don't need any glasses, see you next year. Right. And so we do general eye exams as optometrists. And, you know, the general optometry exam is looking for refractive error, which is to say, you know, do you need a prescription? And it's also just doing a general check of the health and wellness of the eye. And as long as those things look good, most of these patients are saying, okay, great. You know, they're being passed on. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing when we do our developmental vision exam is we're saying, I want to look at those other skills, all the other skills that are required and necessary for a child to succeed in an academic environment. And that's exactly like you said, where we go below the surface and we're looking at the functional vision skills of what they need to be able to succeed. For example, when you are sitting in a classroom and you're sitting at your desk, and you're having to copy something from the board, mm-hmm. you don't even realize what your eyes are doing when you're doing that simple task. So from the medical side, right, we have muscles in our eyes and our muscles work like focusing lenses of a camera, right? So when you take a picture, your lens has to adjust to the distance at which you're looking. So if this student is looking down at their desk, their eyes are having to zoom in. And then when they look up at the board, their eyes have to zoom out. And it's going in and out. That muscle is working all the time while the student is learning. And if those skills aren't working properly, the student's going to fall behind and the teacher's not going to know why, but the student's going to be falling behind because maybe it's really difficult for them to see. Mm-hmm. So there are several very common skills that we do see in students that do cause some learning issues. Is it okay if I share them with you?
That would be great. Yeah. I think it's really relevant to our students and our families.
Great. Yeah. One of the most common conditions that you'll hear with vision, it's called convergence insufficiency, really. And it's very common in young students, actually young and older students as well. And it's the concept that the eyes need to be able to point to what their eyes are focusing on, right? So we have a right eye and we have a left eye, right? And our eyes are actually connected all the way back to our brain. And the brain summates what the right eye sees with what the left eye sees, and it puts it together in a single picture in the back of our brain called the visual cortex. Now, if these pictures line up perfectly, right, we should see a single image. But if our eyes are not pointing exactly at the same direction at exactly the same time, these images will be slightly offset. When they're slightly offset, you get a symptom called double vision, right? So convergence insufficiency, if the eyes are not pointing at exactly the same point when they're looking at something up close, they can result in intermittent double vision, which means sometimes the words go into two and then they slide back into one and they go back into two. And that could be very distracting for a student. It can be very difficult for them to love reading when the print can't even really stay together on the page.
Definitely. So you called that convergence insufficiency. I know sometimes the words that, you know, that are used are really big words that we don't typically use. And so when parents see that, that's kind of what that's talking about. If their eyes are working, coming together. Is that, now I'm afraid I'm going to say this wrong, that their eyes are coming together at the same point.
Yes, you said that excellently.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things they might see if that was a problem was double vision. You know, I think one of the challenges is that sometimes kids don't even realize it's not supposed to look like that.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the other skills that are really needed for learning that get in the way of our students learning as easily and as comfortably as they could?
Great. So another skill, going back to our first scenario when we talked about a student being in class and having to copy from the board, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about that muscle having to focus, right? So in optometry, the official term that we use for that skill is called accommodation. But for the general population, you can think of it as the focus of the eyes, right? So if we have weak accommodation or weak focus of the eyes, what we'll see in our learners is we'll see that when they are reading or doing something up close, things tend to go out of focus. It goes blurry on them. And what they'll do is they'll rub their eyes and they'll kind of like, you know, try to hit their head and say, you know, I can't make that clear. And they can look up, you know, and kind of things seem out of focus. And again, they'll rub their eyes and they'll say, I don't know why I can't get it clear. And it might take them a couple minutes for them to readjust their eyes back to clarity. And so when we see this, we definitely see signs of an accommodation issue. And again, it is a weakness of that muscle to be able to focus their eyes in not only clearly, but quickly, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a spectrum, right? And young kids have the strongest accommodation that you ever can, right? Because your muscle is young, right? And then you know that there becomes an age where everybody will start to need reading glasses, right? And at that age, maybe it's 40, 50, 60, around that age, it is natural. I tell my patients, I say it happens to 100% of the population, right? You're no exception.
So Dr. Lamb, you were talking to us about vision skills that impact learning, and you talked about convergence and accommodation. What about tracking? Because that's one that we hear about a lot. And of course, it's important for reading.
Absolutely. Yes. So we actually get a lot of patients coming into our office saying that their child, they suspect, has a tracking issue, or their teacher has mentioned, I think my child has a tracking issue. And tracking is the ability to move your eyes smoothly from left to right as you read along a line of text on a page. Right? So when we read, it's actually inefficient to look at every single word independently. Our eyes are not supposed to do that when we read. We're actually supposed to have fixations of 4 to 6 words at a time. That's a more efficient way that we read. We also have one other skill where when we get to the end of a line, end of a line of text, our eyes make what we call a return sweep, where our eyes jump back to the beginning of the second line, right? And what's very common is they don't jump to the second line, they jump to the third or fourth line. And then, as you can guess, reading comprehension goes down because they're saying, these words don't make sense. And so we see commonly a lot of tracking issues where students are having trouble reading smoothly, and they're skipping over words or skipping lines when they read.
And so that all fits under that umbrella of tracking, where they're having to go back to the beginning of the next line?
Yes. Yes. So as we said before, right, the eye and the vision system, it is like a muscle system. We have 6 muscles that surround each eye, and that helps the eyes to move smoothly, right? And so what we do is, a lot of times we do training for tracking issues because it comes, it's also coupled with an attention issue, right? They're having trouble keeping attention and pointing their eyes directly where they want their eyes to go when they're reading text on a page. Mm-hmm. So we check for the flexibility of their eyes, their convergence and their divergence. We also check for their accommodation skills, like we talked about earlier, the focus of the eyes, and the movement of the eyes, the tracking skills that we just spoke about. So those are the 3 main areas that we check for in the developmental eye examination.
Great. When parents call us about their struggling student, they are typically seeing problems with reading or math or schoolwork taking too long. And what they don't realize is that when bright children or adults struggle, it's almost always because there are underlying skills underneath that reading or underneath that schoolwork that are weak or inefficient. And these are skills like memory or auditory processing that are not taught in school, but they're assumed to be in place when kids go to school. If any of those underlying processing or learning skills are weak or inefficient, it causes the student to have to compensate, which takes a lot of mental and emotional energy, and which can really stress the attention system. I would love for you to talk a little bit about visual processing, because it's one of those underlying skills that is connected with reading and comprehension and planning and organizing and just so many other things.
Excellent. And Jill, I think why you and I get along so well is when I came to visit your center, I worked with Lita and she showed me your learning continuum, right? And I just loved it because I said, that's exactly what we believe too. And you have here on the bottom of your continuum, you said the core learning skills, right? And that's where we have to have, you know, the basic foundation in order to be able to learn first. And your second level on your continuum is called your processing skills. And so we are very big advocates in believing in visual processing as one of the processing skills that are so necessary to have higher order learning. And so as far as what we're looking at, there's several aspects of visual processing that we focus on. One of them is what we call visual spatial. And visual spatial skills are the ability to know which way things should face, which direction things should face in space, right? And I know a common one that we both see is letter reversals.
Right.
And we know that sometimes students have difficulties knowing which way the B's and D's should face. And that's a very common visual processing problem. Another thing that we do see in our students is visual analysis skills such as visual discrimination. So visual discrimination would be kind of like those, you remember those look-alike pictures in your highlights magazines, you know, you have two pictures and there's 10 differences and you have to find the differences between both pictures. And that requires a lot of problem solving, right? And so that's discriminating the fine differences between the two images. Another one that you'll be very familiar with is visual memory, right? Can you look at something and remember what it looks like? And not just what it looks like, but if you were to close your eyes, could the student remember all the details, right? Now, how is this important for learning? So important, right? 85% of what we learn in a classroom is from visual input, right? So if they're looking at something, if the teacher or the instructor is presenting something visually and the student cannot comprehend it or be able to retain it and memorize it, right? That's going to definitely affect their ability to acquire new information.
Right. And just really understanding the visual, you know, the visual organization on a page. You know, we expect kids to be able to use planners, but sometimes they look at that and they cannot make sense of how that's organized, why it looks that way.
Right.
And, you know, another skill, a very, really a high level visual processing skill is visualization and mental manipulation of those visual images, being able to picture things and, you know, kind of mentally manipulate them. Those are high level visual processing skills, but they're really critical to problem solving, you know, thinking about different options, planning, comprehension, and holding on to information. So.
Absolutely. No, when you just said visualization, the first thing that popped into my mind was word problems in math. So I'm married to a math teacher. My husband's a math teacher. And we heard so much when school started talking about bringing in Common Core, right? Mm-hmm. And so that really affected math a lot because suddenly math became very conceptual, right? And so when you were just explaining visualization, that's a perfect example of a child having to solve a word problem, a math word problem where there's a paragraph and that paragraph is building a scenario. You know, you have a person standing here and they're looking up a hill at a tree on a hill that's 50 feet high, you know, at 60 feet away, you know, what's the shortest distance to get there, right? And the child is having to visualize this and then manipulate it. Like you said, they have to solve a math problem while being able to visualize what's going on in their head, right? And that requires a lot of visual processing.
It does. And, you know, I just want to put a little caveat in there. If your kids are struggling to do math word problems, you've got to be talking about the visual images and what that problem is really all about. I know this is taking us just slightly, a little slight left turn there, but so often, you know, we try to do everything by rote. And as soon as we add in the image of what's really happening, it makes it all make so much more sense. So hugely important skill, that ability to visualize.
Right. The last area of visual processing that, you know, we didn't get to chat about yet, but was visual motor, right? So I know that a lot of students or parents come in concerned that their child has really poor handwriting, you know, and we say that the eyes guide the hand and what the hand is doing, right? You cannot have nice handwriting without looking at what you're doing on the page, right? And being able to judge spacing, being able to understand how to recreate, let's say they're drawing a picture, being able to recreate something in the right proportion, all of that is incorporating visual processing and visual motor skills. And so that is the last component of visual processing that we really feel is very important, especially for a child to succeed in school.
I had not really heard that term, relieving lenses, but I love that. And I would love for you to just mention again what those are, Dr. Lamb.
So when we talk about lenses having such a great impact or being very helpful to students when they're reading, we do prescribe developmental lenses. So developmental lenses are not because the child sees or has a large prescription and needs those glasses to necessarily see clear. You know, like I'm nearsighted. If I take my glasses off, I can see nothing in the distance, right? So I put my glasses on because I have to see, right? So that's one type of prescription. But a developmental lens is really more of a behavioral lens, right? And it can be a combination of a low plus power, right? So like a low reading magnification that we give them. It could have a slight tint on it, where we put different color tints to help increase the fatigue or to help them to concentrate better. We could put a slight amount of prism in the lenses. And what prism does is it can make either the words look more stable on the page, or it could help their eyes to feel less fatigued when they're reading. And so there's definitely a couple of great tools that we can put in these lenses. And when a child puts on a pair of developmental lenses, it's almost like it just wakes up their visual system. It says, it's time to pay attention. It's time to focus your eyes, right? And really be able to be more attentive to the material that you're reading or that you're working on. And so that's the power of developmental lenses that we see. In lieu of COVID and all this virtual learning too, we've actually been also recommending blue blocking lenses. So I'm sure I get a lot of parents asking me, should I have my child wear blue blocking protection now that we're doing so much screen time? You know, and that can also be very helpful. Yes. I say, well, when you go outside into the sun, do you put on sunglasses? You know, there's UV rays coming from the sun. There's also a lot of blue light coming in your eyes from any backlit screen, right? So that can be a computer screen, a cell phone screen, an iPad screen. And so this blue light, just like if you were outdoors, you know, is having some light emissions that's going to the back of the eye and affecting the retina. And so research is, you know, being very proactive to say, you know, we need to be protecting our eyes from any light source. And now that we're all on screen time so much, it's not a bad idea to also be protecting our eyes from the blue light coming from the screens.
And so they can do that through blue light filters or what are those glasses called?
Right.
Blue blockers?
Yeah, in the layman terms, they call it blue blockers, right?
Yeah.
We have a very nice, so when you purchase a pair of glasses, you can put what we call consider an anti-glare coating on those lenses. Right. So they have a customized glare coating that blocks the blue light. So that's one option when you get a prescribed pair of lenses. Another one I know that they sell online is they have a lot of blue blocking Plano glasses, glasses with no prescription in them, but it just has that blue blocking filter. Right. And I know that you can buy those online. Also, computer screens and devices have a blue blocking filter built into their settings. So you can go on into the settings, you know, into the display function of your computer and put the blue blocking filter on, and that will change the color tone of the screen to decrease the amount of blue light being emitted.
Which then might help a little bit with the fatigue.
Absolutely, yes. And so they've been saying that this blue light, it affects the circadian rhythm of our sleep cycle, right? And so blue light is typically what we see when it's daytime, right? So it kind of makes our body more awake. And so if you are looking at a computer screen, let's say at 12 o'clock, well, not for your kids, let's say 10 o'clock, you know, at night when they should be going to sleep, but they're looking at screen time, the blue light is almost kind of tricking their brain, saying, hey, it's daytime still. So their brain is actually more active, and that can actually affect their ability to be able to fall asleep. So you hear the recommendations of, you know, no screen time an hour before bedtime, right? And there's actually a lot of truth to that, because that blue light is messing up our natural daily rhythms of our body. And our body knows that when it becomes dark, it's time to, you know, quiet down and get ready to go to bed.
Mm-hmm. So there was something that you shared with me, and I just want to make sure that we bring this up, because I just think it's the coolest little tool. And you called it 20-20-20. can you tell us about that?
Yes. So we're in the year of 2020. We say this is the year of optometrists, and we have our 20-20-20 rule. And so that says every 20 minutes, you should take a break from what you're doing, whether that's reading or your devices. And you should take a 20-second break to look 20 feet away. Right. And 20 feet away is the equivalent in optometry terms of infinity, or like distance. Right. So when your eyes are looking in the distance, your eyes are in a more relaxed position. When you're looking at anything up close or within arm's distance, your eyes have to work harder to focus in on that subject. And so if you take a 20-second break to focus your eyes 20 feet away, you're resting your eyes, right? And we recommend to you to take a visual break every 20 minutes of when you're doing activity, whether that's virtual learning or reading, playing iPad or playing video games. You need that break frequently to rest your eyes so your eyes are not straining.
That is great. I actually have been doing that, and I think it's really helpful. So keep that in mind. 20-20-20. Everybody gets to relax their eyes just a little bit.
Well, thanks for being a role model, Jill, to all our learners.
This is LD Expert Live. I'm your host, Jill Stowell, founder of Stowell Learning Centers. And my guest is Dr. Valerie Lamb of Insight Vision Center. If you would like to contact Dr. Lamb or Insight Vision Center, you can call or email. Thank you, Dr. Lamb, for being with us today.